Third hour of the show. All guests come to you via the Fire Wings Hotline. The Fire Wings Hotline, again, get to Fire Wings. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Again, Mike Mayock, the general manager of the Raiders, saying today to The Athletic about Derek Carr. He said, Derek Carr played at a high level. I'm very happy with Derek Carr. What I've told everybody I've been in touch with since I took this job is we're going to evaluate every position every year. If we can get better, we will. How do you take that, Raider fan, and do you want Derek Carr as your quarterback? I think if you get Tom Brady, you're making a gigantic mistake. Based on what I saw last year from Tom Brady, you know, with his age and the I just don't see that. That doesn't make any sense to me, but that's just me. I'm not saying that I love Derek Carr, but you got to come up with something different than that. That's how I would look at it.
So in your mindset, Tom Brady just doesn't fit that particular team. Are you saying you wouldn't want Tom Brady at all? Because you and I talked about maybe him being with the who do we say?
I think his skill Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
I think his skills have declined to a point where I'm not confident that he would make that big of a difference with the Raiders. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but if he had, like Indianapolis, if he had a running game, well, great offensive line, and some quality receivers, he could be suffice as you go forward for a year or two?
I said, actually, I thought Phillip Rivers would be a good fit in Indianapolis.
Yes. Okay, you are right. Where did we say for Tom
Well,
Brady?
No, Tom Brady, but he was mentioned in Tennessee because of Mike Vrabel.
There you go. Okay. But it was a couple places.
But Indianapolis has also been in the rumor mill, but I said I think Phillip Rivers, if he's going to go somewhere, I think Indianapolis would be a perfect fit for him.
Yeah, well, especially for these quarterbacks, and we're talking about, because the quarterback position, let's face it, Grant, has got more mobile.
Right.
So we're talking about Phillip Rivers, we're talking about Tom Brady, we're talking about immobile quarterbacks, but they can deliver, they can throw the football, they can do things like that. Well, you're going to need, A, an offensive line, B, a running game, and then you're going to need some receivers that you can get the ball to, not to mention quality tight end.
You know, and again, that's not like Phillip Rivers had a great year. I'm not saying that that's a shoe-in, but
not
I'm just saying, you know, that is a possibility. Now, the other aspect of this is, let's say that the Raiders go out and get a different quarterback. There's going to be a pretty high market for Derek Carr. In other words, there are teams out there that are going to make a trade to acquire him.
I would think so, Grant. I think that he's Derek Carr has had a body of work that's shown that he, I mean, from the time that he was an MVP candidate, and that was a legitimate MVP candidate, I thought that, and then he broke his leg. He just wasn't necessarily the same quarterback. Now you also say, well, look at the fact that you bring in a new head coach, which means there was a whole flux that went on with the Raiders from the front office to everything, not to mention you traded away or didn't sign linebacker that they sent away.
Which team?
The Raiders sent
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack. You did. That was like one of his best friends. So there was a lot of things going on, and he was trying to. I thought that Derek Carr has been skirmishing the pocket for some time, but I think there would be a line of teams that would be looking to sign Derek Carr, no doubt.
Steven, let's get to you on Sports 1140. Hey, Steven.
Hey, how you doing, Grant and Doug?
Hey there.
Good. I just wanted to call in, and I just wanted to say that, you know, my cousin and I, we traveled down from north to Sacramento. We're going to go to the game tonight. We're actually sitting in the parking garage right now, and I'm just excited. I'm excited to watch the game tonight. I know Kent Bazemore, I loved his post-game the other day, and he just came out and said it. He said, you know, we're shooting for the eighth seed. I mean, he just straight out said it, and I love that. I mean, I'm not really a fan that gets too high or too low. I kind of stay in the middle, and I'm excited. This is the most exciting part that I've had this season, watching them play right now. And I kind of joked around, not really joked around, but I told my cousin, I said, hey, at the All-Star break, if we could finish the season 19-9 as a Kings fan, you know what, whether we make the playoffs or not, I don't even want to talk about the playoffs. So if we finish 19-9, I would be happy. Maybe I was being a little, you know, optimistic, but hey, so far we're 2-0, and we're going to be at the game tonight down here in San Francisco, and I can't wait. I'm excited. You know what, and regardless, let's just end on a high note, and I'm excited. And we'll be there tonight, so hopefully we see you guys.
All right, thank you very much.
You know, Napes, you and I said, and I'll speak for myself first, I'm be honest with you, I said 14-14 is what I wanted to see, because that puts you right where you should have been, mm-hmm, had you handled your business all year long.
Right.
Now, if you do better than that, obviously, okay, you know, take the governor off, let's go. I'm totally with that. But I think also 14-14 is going to show you the type of consistency needed to take that step forward.
Especially since you're doing it without Marvin Bagley and Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to factor that into it as well. So, you know, again, there's also going to be more injuries in all likelihood, you know, at some point between now and the end of the season. And the question is, will it be just a minor injury? Who will the injury affect? And, you know, you got to just – that's why you just go out and play. And, you know, you and I, we look at the standings. We look at who's playing whom. But, you know, if I'm on the Kings right now, I'm not – I don't really care. I'm just – it's not really up to what other teams do. It's what you do. Because regardless of what happens on the scoreboard, you're still going to have to figure out a way to win at least 18 of 26 games.
Yeah, you are. And you're right about not scoreboard watching and all those different things. Listen, you're going to know and you're going to see and all. But – you're more worried about what you're doing as an organization, as a team, because if you are paying attention to that and you had been paying attention to that all year, you wouldn't find yourself in this predicament, with the exception of, obviously, the injuries. Like we've said, you can't do anything about that. But there have been some games where the Kings still, even with the injuries, in my opinion, should have won, and they didn't.
No, they did not, and those games are lost forever. You don't get them back, and it's like tomorrow. You know, you and I are going to be on the air from Oklahoma City, and we better not be talking about, gee, you know, here's the Kings. You know, it's been their mantra all year, play well, and then all of a sudden you have a big dud against a team there's no way you should lose to. That can't happen. I mean, if it just flat out, you want to talk about putting a pin in the balloon, that will pretty much take the balloon and take all the air out of it if you lose here tonight. This team you're tanking on tonight is terrible. Let's just not kid anyone. They're terrible. They're 12-45. They're awful.
Yeah, and if you come out with the right defensive pressure and intensity, they will turn the ball over.
Yes, they
will. You can get into the open court. But the type of consistency and focus that it takes to beat a team like this is what it takes to be in the playoffs, to be honest with you, because this is a team that will beat you if you're not careful. If you don't take care of the basketball, turn this ball over and allow them to get easy buckets and all those things. Eric Pascal, Grant, the rookie out of Villanova, he's had a couple 30-point games. Listen, this kid can find a game. And if he finds a game and all of a sudden they get going, Andrew Wiggins, he's been a nemesis of the Kings
for many times.
He's beat up on the Kings. And he is out here. He's going to get all the looks and everything. You got to pay attention to the scouting report. You got to pay attention to the game plan and make sure that you execute it.
Be interesting to see how Luke Walton works this rotation. You know, the other night, the Kings taking on the L.A. Clippers, and you saw Alex Len coming off the bench and really have an impact in the game. I really like what I saw from him. And now you come in here, you have, you know, a game against a team that you should absolutely win. The question now, will a Jabari Parker get in the game? He didn't play on Saturday. Is he going to get in this matchup tonight?
Yeah, and listen, Jabari is a player that coming off of an injury, not to mention the injuries that he's had in his career, I mean, he's trying to find some conditioning and different things like that, but I think he's the type of player that can really help the Kings. Just think of the scoring punch and defense and stuff that you're getting off the bench from Kent Bazemore, from obviously Buddy Hield, and now if you can get Jabari Parker to come in, I mean, when you're playing against a guy like Eric Pascal, that's perfect for him. Normally he's your four, sometimes your five. You can play Jabari and get some good minutes out of him.
All right, again, the Kings and the Warriors tonight. Justin James, the only King out on the floor. Kings had a shoot around here. They got off the plane from L.A. and had an optional workout, Doug, and then today they had a shoot around in this venue at 11 o'clock, so they got their work in, then get some rest, come back here. They will spend the night, and then they will leave for Oklahoma City in the morning. All right, so one game at a time. They're all important. You will keep an eye on that Pelicans-Lakers game tonight. That should be a fun game because that is a possible first-round preview with the Pelicans playing well against the Lakers in L.A. tonight.
And you and I are driving over in the Uber. I told you, I actually think that the Pelicans are going to win this game tonight, even though, you know, for Kings fans, it would be great to see them lose. This is a Pelicans team with Lonzo Ball, with Brandon Ingram, that – they would love to go into the Staples Center and give the Lakers a loss, not to mention what you're seeing out of Zion. This is a young player that the numbers just belie. I mean, it's just – it's crazy. We haven't seen a player put up these type of numbers. Now, it's been a small sample size, I believe 14 games, but haven't put up these type of numbers. One guy that I think is just about as underrated as you get in the NBA is Jrue Holiday. You know I'm a big fan.
Yep.
So – do the Pelicans probably have a better all-around team? Yeah, but when you look at the Lakers, they are top-heavy, and the two top-heavy guys are top five in the NBA.
Let's get to Duncan on Sports 1140. Hey, Duncan.
Hey, guys. Hey, Doug. I loved hearing you this morning on the radio with Dave. That was pretty cool.
Thank you, sir.
You betcha. Hey, Grant, so I just want to take you to task here. Last week, you guys were reading off the rest of the games to play, and right off the bat, you said the Kings wouldn't beat the Clippers, and they did. So, you know, those things are possible. So it would be nice to see them, you know, win the majority of those games and be on the plus side of that going in.
Yeah, I didn't think they would beat the Clippers. You're exactly right. And let's face it, you know, I'm not taking anything away from the Kings, but they got a big break with Paul George and Patrick Beverley not playing, but they took advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. I really love the acquisition of haven't seen Parker do much, but that I didn't know anything about Lynn, and it's nice to see him and hear how the guys are talking about his presence inside. And, you know, it was nice to hear De'Aaron Fox talking about him the other day.
Yeah, he really looked good, and we'll have to see, you know, how Luke Walton uses him coming down here in the final 26 games. But he definitely had a significant impact on the game the other day in L.A. I agree with you there.
Yeah, for sure. I love to see Bazemore and those guys coming off the bench, too, so things are looking up, man. I'm a season ticket holder. Get to sit right behind the bench. So, pretty lucky guys. It'd be good to see him. I get to go see Toronto on Sunday. So
awesome, man. Hey, we appreciate that. Thank you very much, Duncan. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. You too, man. Thank you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Mike, you're next here on Sports 1140. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Doug. What's up, guys?
Hey.
First off, I'd like to ask you guys a few things about the season so far. It's been a rough start. But I'm telling you, Vlade is looking pretty good. But bringing in Kip Bazemore, defensive guy, like we all talk about dogs. And Corey Joseph, he's the same type of guy. And De'Aaron Fox gets after it on defense. I'd like to know what you guys think about that. And if you can touch on how many home games, because I think we have quite a few in March. Maybe if the Kings get it rolling, we have our own version of March Madness. What do you guys think about?
Well, I'll take the first part because Doug and I were talking about this. What I like about the Kings lineup now, they have an offensive lineup and a defensive lineup that they can use in the final 60 seconds off timeouts and dead balls, offensive, defensive substitutions.
I think it's imperative. When you think of Kim Bazemore, you think of, you saw the stop the other night that De'Aaron Fox gave you. You mentioned Corey Joseph, Alex Lynn protecting the basket. We know what we've been getting from Harrison Barnes on the defensive end. So you got some guys that can lock up and put a formidable lineup out there that can help you on the defensive side. And to Grant's point, and some of those guys on the offensive side, Kim Bazemore has been great. De'Aaron Fox, we know what he brings. Buddy Hield, so some really good things from the Kings.
And if the Kings were able to go 2-1 in their next three road games tonight, Oklahoma City and Memphis, with Detroit coming in on Sunday, I think you're going to see an atmosphere get bigger and bigger. And when I mean bigger, I'm talking about volume. And I like what the crowd's done the last couple games. I thought the weekend before the All-Star break, a Friday night against Miami and Saturday night against San Antonio, kind of felt like the old days. I thought the crowd was really great. That's what's going to be needed. If this team is going to make an improbable playoff appearance, and again, I got to call it improbable. They're 4.5 games out with 26 left. That's a big, big deficit. It's going to have to be at home with the crowd. So, you know, again, you never know. Just go out and play the games.
All right. Well, thanks for taking it. Let's go, team.
Thank you. Appreciate it. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I love the enthusiasm of the fans. I think it's great. I like what I'm hearing from the fans. They're excited, and they should be.
Yes, no question about it. They should be. Listen, Grant, if it had not been, and I'm just going to use one guy, if De'Aaron Fox does not miss all those games, and I know some people go, well, they were 7-7 when he was out. When he came back, I think De'Aaron has gravitas, whatever the word I'm looking for, that when he steps on the court, sometimes guys, the teammates have the tendency to not do the things that they do because he has such ability. And now that they're finding their rhythm, that's more of what I meant by De'Aaron being not missing so many games. And just listen, I think he missed 18. And even if you win six of those games, think about where you're at. I mean, that means that you went, 12-6 or whatever. Man, it puts you in a different atmosphere, but that's okay. This is where you're at right now. This should show Kings fans, it should show management, coaching staff, where a lot of guys at, their mental fortitude, their mental focus and strength. This is an opportunity for the Kings. Forget about where you're at in the standings. Go out every night and get it done.
Christopher Madero-Russo is going to come on with us at 5:30. We'll talk to Dog about some of the things going on in Major League Baseball, particularly what he thinks is going to happen with the Red Sox. You know, we're still waiting on the commissioner to come out and levy the news on the Red Sox. We already know about the Astros, and so we'll talk to Chris about that and a couple of other things. That is coming your way at 5:30. The Kings still with two players out on the floor right now, Yogi Ferrell and Justin James. Still waiting word on the availability of Draymond Green and Marquese Chris for the Warriors. They are both listed as questionable. Jay is next on Sports 1140. Hello, Jay. Jay, what's going on today?
Hey, good. Good, guys. I'm enjoying your show, man. Hey,
thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, have you guys heard anything new that we haven't heard too much on about Rashawn coming back? Any kind of a target date at all?
I haven't heard a word.
Yeah, I have not either. That doesn't mean anything bad. It just, we haven't heard anything.
I did see him on the floor in L.A. on Saturday working out and doing a lot of running and things of that nature. So I know he's getting his cardio work in and doing all of that, but in terms of actually playing, I haven't heard.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure because no one's really aware of that. Yeah,
I don't think anybody really knows.
Yeah, you're right. The second thing I wanted to ask you about, as I read about, was there was a petition with a large number of signatures to replace the NBA logo with a Kobe Bryant image.
Never going to happen.
Never? You don't think so?
No, because of the situation that happened in Colorado with the sexual assault and the civil case. There's no way in the world that Kobe Bryant's ever going to be the NBA logo.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. All right. Well, that was it, guys. Hey, enjoyed the show, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. And I don't mean that, you know, to I'm and just calling it the way it
no,
is.
No, you're right. He was acquitted, obviously. But at the same time, I've always been of the mindset that if that was ever to change, it would probably be Michael Jordan.
He wasn't acquitted. The victim did not testify. They reached a civil suit.
Okay. So I used the wrong word. Thank you.
Yes.
No. We got to be on point.
But then he came out and admitted his transgressions and was very elaborate in the events and how he violated her. And so I guess the point I'm saying is I don't ever see that happening, Kobe being the NBA logo. And I would also say this, the NBA logo is such an iconic logo. And Jerry West, I mean,
that's why I said Michael Jordan, because that's right. Really, the only other logo that's as iconic as the NBA logo is the Jumpman logo. That's the only other one that I can think of.
Right.
And
you're never going to do it. And again, I hope this doesn't sound wrong. You're never going to do it while Jerry West is still alive. You know what I mean? Like, nor should you. And I don't know if in my lifetime, and I'm 60, assuming I live a full life, I'm not so sure that, you know, the present logo won't remain that way for, you know, a long time.
To be honest with you, and, you know, I love Jerry West. Just talked to him the other day. When he does pass away, I think it even becomes harder, to be honest with you, to get rid of the logo.
But you can't do it while he's alive.
No. And, listen, the NBA logo, when you talk about some of the most iconic logos in the history, is one of them. You know, the arches of McDonald's and the NFL Shield, and you can go on to Nike, and that logo is right up there with the absolute top and best of them.
Yep, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, it's pretty amazing talking to Jerry West. And I don't know, when you talk to Jerry West, like, you realize, wow, you know, I'm talking to the NBA logo. I'm talking, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of surreal, you know?
It's about as real as it gets, man. First of all, he's always frank.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I never, when I was there with Jerry as a young player, I never really understood. I understood who he was, but I didn't understand the gifts that he was necessarily giving me on a day-to-day, because he was the type of general manager that would come to practice and he would talk to you. He might even show you something out on the court that he would like to see you work on and things like that. And man, just think about that type of knowledge. That is the highest level of corporate knowledge, which is why I think that he loved Kobe so much, and Kobe probably loved him, because those things that he was telling him, I'm sure Kobe worked on it until the next time he saw him, he had it perfected, for God's sake.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll never forget, as a 10-year-old, when the Knicks played the Lakers in the NBA Finals, and, you know, the Lakers had, you know, Jerry West, they had Gail Goodrich, they had, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, Happy Harrison started. But I'll never forget this as a kid. You know, and again, 10 years old. Everyone on the playground knew Jerry West. And this is New York now. This is
before
the games being on TV and everything. But, like, I remember as a 10-year-old, I remember that Jerry West was almost like a godlike figure, and I really mean that.
No, you're right.
And, you know, even as a 10-year-old growing up on the other side of the country, you know, we all knew about Jerry West.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry West was the man. You know, I came across, I don't know if you saw it the other day, but I came across a photo on Instagram of Dr. J at Rucker Park. Have you ever seen any of those photos,
Yes,
Napes?
I sure have.
And you have 10-story, 15-story buildings in the background, and people are sitting on the edges of the building with their feet hanging over the side. Imagine that. Now, just think how high in the air you are, but that was the only place that you could go to see the show, and it looked like an NBA arena, but it was Rucker Park, because those
yep.
were some of the guys that they wanted to come see.
No question. All right. Don't forget, when we come back, we will talk with Christopher Mad Dog Russo. I am Grant Napier, along with Doug Christie. We get you up to 6 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Back here at Chase Center in San Francisco, all guests come to you via the Fire Wings hotline. Try one of their delicious flavors of wings today. Fire Wings, just wing it. Great when I can talk to my good buddy, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, who's got his own show on Sirius XM, a Mad Dog Radio. Chris, it's Grant and Doug. How are you, buddy?
How are my two fellas? Okay, things good?
Yeah, we are doing good. Hey, I wanted to ask you, why is it that we have not yet heard from Major League Baseball in regards to the Red Sox? What's the delay, in your opinion?
I heard by the 28th, so I would think by Friday. I think they maybe learned their lesson and want to make sure they investigate this incredibly cleanly and not, you know, basically leave 2019 open for conjecture. So I would think, guys, that you'll see this taken care of by the 28th. I mean, I don't know that. That's just a guess, but that's what I would think. And we'll see how and I don't think there's going to be much that is going to come out of it. Cora's already been fired. Obviously, Dombrowski's not there. The Red Sox that year were tremendous on the road. I mean, they beat the Yankees twice easy. They killed the Astros 3 straight games. I mean, the Astros won so many games at home in 17. The Red Sox went the other way in 2018. So I think it's not going to be that dramatic, but I think you're here by Friday.
You know, Chris, I love your takes. First of all, I haven't heard your take on the cheating scandal you just mentioned in 17, what the record was for the Houston Astros at home. When you think of all of that and you take it in consideration, is there any way that the rings get taken away?
Doug, I don't think they're going to do that. I think the sport's been surprised by the vitriol. Not that they knew this wasn't a big deal, but I think they've been a little taken aback. You know, and Manfred obviously, you know, vacate the title and, you know, punish the players. And I think he's been, you know, he couldn't punish the players because he couldn't get to the bottom of it without their help. The baseball has never had a history of taking back titles. They didn't take back or take away the title in 1919, although the Reds won. They still didn't take it away. They didn't obviously vacate Bonds' home runs. So I don't think they're going to do anything here. And I understand why they probably didn't do it. They probably felt that the scarlet letter that the Astros were going to have to wear, based on the idea that everybody thinks that they didn't deserve that title, was punishment enough. So I don't think they're going to do anything with the Red Sox as far as the 18 championship is concerned. Now, you can argue, Dougie, if you wish, that they should have done a little more. You want to?
Okay.
I think they should have suspended Crane. That would be my argument. I think probably they should have been a little bit more specific about the buzzers in 19 with Altuve. But I didn't expect them to vacate the title, and I did not expect them to punish the players because they were not going to get to the bottom of it unless, in fact, they got players' cooperation, and they weren't going to get cooperation of the players if, in fact, they were going to punish them. So I am not that stunned on those two aspects, the punishment of the players and, of course, the title.
Chris, look into your crystal ball for me. What do you think is going to be the norm this year with the Houston Astros? How difficult do you think it's going to be for them? Is this going to be a constant daily deal for all of us that follow Major League Baseball, that this is going to be the story day in, day out, or is it going to become old news soon?
Grant, I think it's going to last a month or so. They don't go play the Yankees until late September at Yankee Stadium, so, and they obviously don't play the Dodgers. They do go to Anaheim. I'll say this about the Astros. You give a young player, and they have a lot of young ones, Bregman, Gurriel, and Altuve, Springer, Correa. You give a young team like that, you give them a cause, I think they're going to be very dangerous. I think the Astros are going to be a very good regular season team. I think they're going to have a huge chip on their shoulder. I don't like teams in that division that much. Anyway, I know Oakland's good, but the Angels don't have any pitching. Seattle stinks. Texas.
Oh, come on, Chris.
Say again?
Come on, I'm a Seattle Mariners fan. You're killing
you're
me over here.
Fan,
I have to deal with Grant all the time.
Eventually they're going to get them, they're trying to put it back together again with DePoto. But I think the Astros are going to be out there. I think they're going to have a regular season. Now, I think they're going to go, I think they're going to win 98, 99, 100 games. I really do. But I don't know if they have enough starting pitching. Although the Yankees lose Severino today, I don't know if they have enough starting pitching to win the whole thing. So. But I think the Astros will have a cause, Grant and Doug, in this first half of the season. I think it will be a story, especially the first trip in to all these cities. I think, though, eventually it's going to wear itself out.
What happens if during the regular season we begin to see some droughts by Correa, by Altuve, especially on the road? Isn't that going to spark the conversation?
It will, Doug. Now, remember, two things that people don't realize. In 2000, I don't want to defend the Astros, but let's be fair. In 2017, they were 53-28 on the road. They were better on the road than they were at home.
Okay.
And also in 2017, they scored 505 runs on the road and 4-something at home. And Altuve hit 385 on the road and 310 at home. So the idea that the Astros were sort of an average Midland team on the road and destroyed people at home because they were cheating, the facts don't back that up. Now, nobody's going to defend them. They deserve what they get. But, I mean, you got to be fair. This is a very, very good team. I mean, I think the best case you can make against the Astros is that game five against L.A. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the Verducci story.
Yep.
With
Yep.
51 pitches they did not swing at, sliders in the dirt or sliders low and away, and that to me is damning. So that game five is an issue, but as far as the regular season is concerned, I think they're going to be pretty successful home and away. People will be keeping an eye on the road and home away splits, but the team is a hell of a team. I mean, Altuve, Spring, these guys are good, very good players.
Yeah, but what about no Gerrit Cole? How big of a loss is that, in your opinion?
And that's where the postseason comes in, because I don't think they have. I think losing him is a major blow. You know, they're going to try to deal with, McCullers, Verlander, and Greinke, and they're going to miss Cole. So in a short series when they need a well-pitched game, like game five against Tampa, they're not going to have him. So that, to me, is amazing. I think they miss him more than anything else in a big spot, Grant. That is where the postseason no Cole will hurt them the most.
How much do you believe there were buzzers involved?
Yeah, listen, it's so, Doug, when you think about it, if you watch that Altuve home run,
right,
it's hard to believe he wasn't doing something. I mean, what guy, as Bellinger said, what player hits a game-winning home run?
Wow.
In the world, to get the team to a World Series against the Yankees at home,
Right.
The first thing he thinks about when he crosses third base on the way to the plate is a stupid tattoo of his dopey daughter from I shouldn't say dopey daughter.
Makes no sense. No,
tattoo,
I know. We got you.
You got it. The stupid tattoo of Melanie there, his daughter, and then he runs into the clubhouse to change shirts. I mean, that is so suspicious. And I think that, the Astros do not get the benefit of the doubt. They cheated in 17, cheated in 18. And, Grant, why would you cheat in those 2 years and be successful at them and all of a sudden go cold turkey in 19? It makes no sense.
Well, I got a good point. Chris, we're in San Francisco right now.
Chase Arena, Grant? How's this Chase Arena?
You know what? It's nice. It's, the actual bowl, the inside of the arena is okay. It doesn't knock my socks off. If you're a premium ticket holder in here, Chris, meaning if you're one of the fans that had the big bucks, it's phenomenal. But the actual inside of the arena, it's okay. It doesn't knock my socks off. But, it's a lot better than Oracle where they played previously. But I want to ask you, because you're a diehard Giants fan, I mean, good Lord, how bad are the Giants going to be this year?
Oh, they're going to be terrible. I did not understand the Kapler hire at all. He failed twice 2 years in a row in Philadelphia in the second half of seasons, and the Giants run to get him. That made no sense whatsoever. This is a dude, they're paying a piper for 3 championships. They tried to stay above water there for Bochy the last couple years, so I can understand that they're going to sort of regroup and reboot the franchise, and it's going to be reboot that farm system. They got some bad contracts to deal with. Posey turns out to be a bad contract. Cueto there forever, bad contract. Longoria making money, bad contract. So they are in a situation where they're going to have to deal with the next couple of years where they're going to be bad. And they also know, Grant, Doug, that the Dodgers are sitting there. And, why beat your head against the wall trying to win a division?
Right.
And the Dodgers right now, with all these young players and still big stars, are the team to beat by plenty. So they figure, take a back seat. It's not going to look good. They're going to have a lot of empty seats in that beautiful ballpark. But let's take a back seat, take our medicine, and regroup for a couple years down the road. I mean, that's what the Giants are doing right now.
You mentioned this earlier, in Cole, out now Severino. How big of a loss is that for the Yankees?
The Yankees are going to be so good in the regular season. We're going to get so much offense, and the division is not going to be as good because the Red Sox, there are bad teams in the American League with, Baltimore, Detroit, Kansas City, Seattle, Doug, sorry to say. I think the Yankees, they're going to miss them. And they certainly miss them in a postseason setting. And they're going to need some pitching here. I mean, they make a trade in July if they have to. I mean, I got Cole, Tanaka, Paxton will be back essentially in June 1st. They're going to need another starter in a big way. And they have to go out there and get one. But they can, and listen, they didn't have Severino at all last year, and they had a great team. So it will hurt them in a short series probably, but regular season they'll be okay.
Chris, we going to Ireland for a 65th?
Yeah. Rob, who I saw last night,
yep,
got me a book of the old course at St. Andrews of all the guys who played on the course and pictures. It's about 15, 20 pages. And you are all over it, my
Look
friend.
Look at you.
How about
oh,
that?
Boy.
With that camera of yours, with the phone, swings, you would be, it's all color, all that day, you and Lombardo, Grant, it's one of the great things you ever see.
Wow.
It's phenomenal.
Hey, Doug, I was telling Doug I took all the pictures for everybody because my phone on my camera was so good, so I took probably hundreds of pictures, Chris, right?
You will really, next time I see you, Grant, I know you're not in anymore, I'll show you this. Now, I want some information on the Kings. Give me a little rundown on the year. What's going on with
them? Well, they've won 8 of 12. They're in town taking on the Warriors tonight. They, again, took Buddy Hield and moved him to the sixth man, started Bogdan Bogdanovic, and since then, again, they're 8-4. They just beat the Clippers in L.A. on Saturday. They have Oklahoma City on Thursday on the road, then at Memphis. Then they got a long stretch of home games. There's only 26 games left, Chris. They're 4.5 out, but Memphis looks like they're sliding. They've lost 3 in a row. They're playing again tomorrow at Houston, and they got no Jaren Jackson for a couple weeks. So I think the Pelicans probably got the best shot, Chris. I think they might, but the Kings still feel they got an opportunity here, so we'll see. You just never know.
I think you're right about the Pels, Doug. I love Williamson. They got a lot of firepower. I know the Kings play them two more times. I think the Pelicans will be the team that gets the eighth spot. But I don't think the Memphis. I'm with Grant. I think Memphis will fade, so I think it's the Pelicans. Is this a big-time disappointment? I know you lost Bagley, Grant. Is this a big disappointment this year, not making the playoffs?
Yeah, it is a big disappointment, but it's really been the number one thing has been injuries. Bagley's played 13. Fox missed 19. You know, they missed Rashawn Holmes, who, believe it or not, when they signed, the Kings thought it would just be a role player. He ended up being the very best player on the floor, so much so that not only did he become a fan favorite, but, I mean, when he was out of the lineup and he's now been out since January, he's going up on 2 months, that's been a really big loss. So, it's just been one of those things, but they're playing really well right now. I don't know if there are enough games left, Chris, but they are playing well. Again, since they made that move of taking Buddy Hield and putting him as the sixth man and starting Bogey, they've beat some good teams. Yeah. And, Chris, there are a lot of bad teams right now. You got to see if you can take advantage of it or not. Time will tell, as they say.
Good job, Grant.
Chris, you're the best.
You're going to keep me posted, Grant? Keep me Dougie? You guys going to keep me
you
posted?
You got it, baby.
Occasionally here. Will you please?
Absolutely. Appreciate you, big man.
Great. Now, Chris, were you on the 617 going home tonight?
Yes, I was, Danny, baby. Yes, I was.
Good.
I'm going to the Caribbean, Grant, on Sunday for a week, so that will make my life Anguilla. I'll enjoy that.
How many books you're going to read down there that week?
I got six going, baby.
Get a boy.
I love it. Be good, Chris.
I'm going to one end of the beach. You go to the other. I'll see you at dinner. Oh, baby.
I love it. See you, Chris. Oh, my gosh. That's good stuff. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. Final segment, and then we get you to game night. Good stuff from Chris. He's a beauty, isn't he?
Oh, my goodness, man. Man, I couldn't imagine you and him together.
Wow. Every day.
I got to see this book, though. You're donning the book, huh?
I took all the photos.
You were just taking selfies?
No, I wasn't taking pictures of me. I was taking pictures of all the other golfers. There were pictures of me,
But how
too.
Did you get in there?
Well, I don't know. Maybe there was someone else taking pictures that I was unaware of, so I don't know. They were so impressed with how good the pictures turned out on my camera.
You must have had a phone like mine.
Let me tell you, I had 11 other guys that I was playing with, and they said that my camera took the best pictures of anyone. Yeah. So I took them.
That's a rookie move. What they were doing was they just wanted you to take the pictures.
I was going to take them anyway.
Okay, I got you.
I mean, I'm not going all the way to Scotland
with no pictures.
Exactly.
Hey, I got you.
You know what I mean? I didn't care whether I was sending them. If they didn't want them, I didn't care. I was getting them for myself.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I figured, okay, you know what? While I'm at it, I'm going to take pictures of the other guys playing because, you know, they were real serious.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying I wasn't, but I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm serious, but I'm not coming over here and not taking pictures.
Right. Were they so serious that they didn't have a good time? Because that can happen.
No, you know what? Chris didn't have a good time on I'll never forget this. We were playing at Royal Troon on the second round of golf.
Okay.
Now, you got to remember, Chris and them got delayed in Newfoundland on it. They had to have an emergency landing.
Right.
In a small airport. And they were stranded. There was no immigration. I mean, you know, they were literally stranded there. And it took almost 24 hours to have a British Airways get them a jet and get them out of there.
Come on.
They didn't even play in the practice round on Saturday. They didn't even show up until like 7 in the morning.
On Sunday.
And we were teeing off at 9:30.
Wow. So, did they tee off with you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the next day, we played Royal Troon.
Okay.
And Chris is pretty hard on himself. Like, Chris is...
He's worse than you?
Oh, my gosh.
Really?
I'm Santa Claus compared to him.
Oh, God.
He's really hard on himself.
Okay, I got a vision in my head.
And Chris got on the... I showed you the picture of the bus we were on. It was beautiful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you would have thought that he was like, man, I shouldn't have come over here. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm terrible. And, you know, he shot like a 114, you know?
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. But he bounced back. And, you know, we're trying to cheer on because he's the one that put the trip on.
Right.
And we're like, Chris, it's going to be okay. You're tired. You know, you've been fine. You know, don't be so hard on you. And, you know, you can't say that to Chris.
You're nice guys.
Chris is like talking to Buddy Hield.
Okay.
You know, where you try to talk, and I say that because I love Chris and I'm very fond of Buddy, but I'm trying to paint the picture for you. Buddy always has, you know what I mean?
You're not going to shut him up.
That's right. And you're not going to be able to talk sense into Buddy.
Yeah.
Because in his mind, he knows everything. And in Chris's mind, he knows everything. You know, and then he goes into, and then here's Chris. Grant, what'd you shoot today? I said I had an 87. See, there you go. He had an 87, and you know, and Chris, and he goes, and what's your handicap? I go, I'm a 9.2. He goes, well, you know, I'm and
what's his handicap?
You know what? I would say it was probably a 15.
Okay,
all right. he's like. He should be shooting an 87, and I'm shooting a 114. You know what I'm saying? Like he's like, you see, and then he says, "Bob, you see what I'm talking about?" Yeah, Grant comes over here and he shoots an 87.
You know? that's a pretty good imitation,
you know,
by the way.
But anyway, so you know, so we had to, and then we're on the bus after we played in Royal Troon to check into our next hotel for a while, and we were all trying to pacify Chris, you know, calm him down, and. Fortunately, he played better the next day, or I don't know what. We were at Muirfield after that, and we played 36 that day, and he, you know. But, you know, you can hear Chris. If you're five holes away, you can still hear Chris screaming on the golf course. And then he starts yelling at his caddy.
Really?
Oh, you know, it's unbelievable.
Oh, man. I have to golf with him sometime, man. That means I can talk him out of his game.
Easily.
Oh, there we go. That's my type
of. But he does the same thing that the guys he's playing against, you know?
Okay. I'm all with it, right. Man. I mean, you know, go ahead. I'm not a problem at all.
I mean, he'll go, hey, Rob, let me tell you something, man. That's going to be really difficult to get that up and down from there. That's a tough line. Hey, what do you think, Brent? Brent, you think that's a tough shot?
And he has a shot. He's approaching his ball.
Not only that, well, Chris will hit like three good drives in a row, and he does not hit the ball far. So a good drive for him is 200 yards.
Okay.
And he's like, hey, Granny, how about that? Right down the middle. You know, and I was booming the ball down there. When I was there, I hit a couple easily 300-yard drives.
Really?
So I'm like, hey, Chris, I don't know how to explain this to you, but you're in a different zip code than I am. You know, like, we played it.
Did you hit him with shades go down, pounds the glove?
We played at Kings Barns, which was everyone's favorite course over there.
Okay.
And he and his partner actually beat me and my partner. But I played very well at Kings Barns.
You're carrying your guy.
I had an 84 at Kings Barns, and I played beautiful golf. And I was, but Chris and his team beat me. So you know, Chris is popping off, and I'm like, okay, you know. So we get to 16, and the match is over.
Okay.
I go, Chris, how about you and me just played a little side. And I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Chris. I'm going to give you a stroke on 16 and 17, but not 18. He's like, okay, Grandy, what do you want to play for? I go, you know, we'll just play for $10 a hole. Nah, let's go 20. I'm like, all right, we'll go 20. All right? So, first hole, okay. I beat him by a stroke, but we push because I give him a stroke.
Right.
Second hole, same thing.
Oh, comes down to the last one, no strokes.
And it's all carry, so now we're playing for 60
bucks.
And I hit my best drive of the whole week. And Chris,
did you hit first?
No, Chris hit first.
Okay.
And he hit a really good drive.
Okay.
And I'm not exaggerating. It was a par four, and I went driver, lob wedge. And,
what?
And Chris had to hit driver. He had to lay up because there was a danger area between the fairway and the green. And so Chris had to lay up with a long iron. And his long iron still didn't get to where my drive was.
Really?
Yes. And he was like, so I ended up, I hit a lob wedge.
Onto the green.
Not only onto the green, like 6 feet.
Look
and I missed the putt, but I got the par. And, you know, Chris, I think, got a six on the hole.
Wow.
And I was like, I'll take my 60 right now.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, hey, Chris, we're not waiting until we get on the bus. Take the money out right here.
This man paid for the trip. Grant beating him over the head. Oh, Napier, you're one of a kind, man.
But I get up there, and you know how Chris goes, Grant, what, did you kick the ball? How did you hit the ball so far?
You let him know. I know this guy named Tom Morton.
Yeah.
Go see him.
Yep. DC, what do you think tonight? Number one key.
I would say no turnovers tonight.
Yep.
Take care of the basketball. Don't give this team any hope at all. And you do that by taking care of the rock.
Game night's coming up next. Doug and I will be in not-so-beautiful Oklahoma City tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Sports 1140 KHDK.